July 27, 2014, morning service. Today we are going to study from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. It is hard to understand from the Japanese Bible, but it is easier to read in King James Version. It means the first covenant, which is the covenant from the Old Testament, had both divine, which is heavenly service, and the earthly sanctuary. The sanctuary means the holy of holies, the holiest place of all. So what it is saying is that we are to seek the divine service and not the earthly service. The divine service is to be aligned with the things of heaven and not with the things of earth. Related to this topic, let's look at John 4:20. The story of Samaritan woman. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews said that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. In our time, the Samaritan mountain this woman refers is the mountain of the Catholics, and Jerusalem is where the Protestants gather, and they tell each other that their ritual and the tradition is the right one. But Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. And we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." It means that there will be a time that those denomination and the place of worship will not matter. Jesus also mentions a true worshiper, so there must be a false worshiper too. So again, I say this, God wants us to have a heavenly service, not the earthly service, and he wants us to be a worshiper in spirit and truth. Speaking of services, let's look at Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." What we normally think of service is things that we have on Sunday with the preacher, but what it says here is to present your bodies as a living sacrifice for service. Of course, going to church is better than not going to church, but true service is to offer our bodies, our lives. The Romans 12:6 adds more to that. "Having then gifts offering according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." So if you have a gift of prophecy, we are to use it. And do not let it be affected by our flesh and our own shortcomings, but to purify it and strengthen it so that we could use the gift for God's purpose. As you know, the word service is to serve others, like serving your clients at a workplace. And we are asked to serve for church. So if one of us is using the gift of prophecy, the person is serving the body of Christ. We should not only focus on being served by others, but find a way to serve others. That's where the blessings come from. In this world, we think it is better to be served, but in God's kingdom, it is better to serve. If you were to come to church early to help others, that's serving too. "He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." These are all different forms of serving others and serving God. In that sense, I know that the Catholics are doing a lot of charitable works, which I think is wonderful. Serving others is crucial for our walk as a Christian. That's how we grow. But if we don't serve others, we will only grow to be critical of others, and it will become very unhealthy. I myself have been serving for whatever the church I was with for a long time, and They all helped my spiritual growth and my walk with the Lord, so I would like you to actively participate serving others and for the church as well. Going back to the Hebrews, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. This is the description of the earthly sanctuary. And the second veil, and the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. This is the divine sanctuary, which is more important. Here, golden censer represents our prayer as it is mentioned in the Revelation, and also gold represents faith. So if golden censer represents holy and pure prayer, I am sure that there are cheaper prayer like prayer made of copper and steel. So there are golden prayers and then ordinary prayers. But this church where I used to go to as a young man, the pastor of that church taught me so much about prayer. He really had a prayer closet, and he said that when you listen to people's prayer, you see the level of their faith. And when you pray, you could see your spirit. So after I heard that, I was a little hesitant to pray with him. And I didn't understand at that time, but now I understand that I see what he means by that he can see the level of people's faith. So we should all strive to have a golden censer-like prayer. Regarding the golden pot that had manna in, this is for the heavenly sanctuary. But for the earthly service, we have showbread. We have to know the difference. The difference between bread and manna is bread is for you to make and purchase, but manna has to be provided from heaven. Jesus said, "We do not live on bread alone." Bread is word of God in the Bible. Jesus also said that we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God, which is manna, the fresh word God is speaking to us, which is different in each occasion. I am not saying the bread is bad. It is important because Jesus said we do not live on the bread alone, but we also need fresh manna from heaven, and we receive manna as we serve Him. And all of you have a Bible with you, but when we are in trouble and do not know what to do, then we should all seek the fresh manna from heaven, divine revelation and instruction that is given to you for that particular moment. For example, I made a website called Tsunobue years ago, and I was writing an article about errors found in Talmud. And I was fearful since it says that those who point the errors in Talmud would face death. So I was afraid that some people, including some Christians, might get upset and would come after my life. So I prayed to God all the time for my safety. And at that time, and there was this Pentecostal church that I used to go with my family for New Year service. And this church would give us a gift after midnight, and then they would also give you a piece of paper with the Word of God written on it, and selected from the box. So the word I received that night was, "I have given you the authority to trample serpent and scorpion," which was exactly what I needed to receive. And after that, all my fear disappeared completely. And Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablet of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services, but into the second part of the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with food and drinks, various washings and flesh ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. This means that this first earthly tabernacle did not make our conscience perfect. If we attend the earthly service out of habit, you will not get the real cleansing and freedom. You might still suffer from bondage of sins and guilt. It is what the verse 10 says. The earthly food and drink support our bodies but do not bring the spiritual transformation. So what this section says is that even today, on Sunday, where thousands of services are being conducted in many churches throughout Japan, there are some which are having earthly services and there are others which have the divine services. As for cleansing our conscience, it says in the verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It means that the blood of Christ alone cleanses us from the dead works and our sins. The wine represents the blood and the Holy Spirit. And when you have the blood and the Holy Spirit, you are cleansed. And how do you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit? Only through prayer. That's how we get cleansed. And I pray every morning, before prayer. I might have some troubling thoughts, doubt, and fear. But as I pray, I feel that my conscience is being cleansed, and I feel peace, and I start feeling thankful. That's why I think the blood is the Holy Spirit. So we should continue to seek the closeness with the Holy Spirit in prayer for us to be cleansed from this world.